Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 18, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
U.S. over the U.N. will make a 7-year covenant. Listen to this. And you know what we've heard over the years, but it is the U.S. over the U.N. that's going to make this covenant. And in the U.S., there will be a civil war. We're going to talk about both of these. People have asked me many times, I see the 7-year covenant in Daniel. Where is it in the book of Revelation? Well, it's the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The first 3.5 years in Revelation 12, the second 3.5 years in Revelation 13. There's your 7-year covenant. It is all nations joined together. They're going to make a covenant. And it's going to be staged. You see, the dragon comes first, and then the beast. And the dragon has 7 heads with the crowns on the heads. That means God is giving dominion to these ethnic groups that vote, block vote in the UN. But that's all going to change in the middle of the tribulation. The crowns are no longer on the heads. The crowns are on the 10 horns, which are the 10 kings, which are the 10 continental divisions of the earth. You see, their plan, if you've looked at the Constitution for the Federation of Earth, it's very neat. Their plan is to redivide the earth, not along national boundaries, because nationalism causes patriotism, causes wars. Patriotism is not a Christian spirit. It causes wars all over the earth, okay? And also, nations tend to divide along religious boundaries, too. And they want to do away with all those boundaries and redivide and throw people in with people that they normally would not be thrown in with, you see. So they decided, according to the Constitution of the Federation of Earth, is to stage in this new world order, this actually, it's a revived Roman Empire, and is coming in two stages, the dragon and then the beast. That's what they said in there. They didn't call it that, but that's exactly what it is. Because the beast comes in with the 10 kings in authority. And they're staging it in, just like they've promised. The U.S. harlot, this new world order, is going to be the U.S. harlot over the U.N. beast, over the U.R. false prophet. And this makes a one world order, not only with all the nations, but all the religions of the world. I don't know if you studied the U.R., but it's very interesting. You can look it up on the internet if you want. But basically what they're doing is gathering together all the religions of the world into a one world agreement in order to advise the UN on how to keep the world together without war. Does that sound familiar? Exactly what's happened in history. Constantine, who was the king of the Holy Roman Empire of his day, he gathered all the religions of the world together, sit at his little round table, keep peace among these people, make a religion that doesn't offend anybody out there. And in doing this, his idea was to make peace in his kingdom. And as you know, that one world religion ultimately became the Catholic Church, which means universal religion. Now, people think that the Catholic Church is coming again to rule over the world, but it's not. It's only a type and a shadow, a foreshadowing of an end-time universal religion that's being built right now called the UR. And the United Religions, this is what the Lord showed me about this, the end-time false prophet. The end-time false prophet, the head of the false prophet, is going to be the leadership of this United Religions. But the head goes right on down to the body, and the body goes right on down to the man in the pulpit. The Lord has shown me several visions of the false prophet standing in the pulpit teaching the people. One day I was teaching on this, and a brother came in I hadn't seen for years, and he shared a revelation, that a dream he just had of a one-world religion. And he stumbled in, he went, decided he was going to go see what this one-world church was like. He went and he stumbled into the wrong room in this one-world church, and here were all the pastors of this one-world church, and they were teaching people how to receive the mark of the beast. They were beaming a light across their foreheads. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. They were using the light to put the mark of the beast on their foreheads. You know what using the light is? Right here. Because you can be trained to walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. With the Word of God, you can be trained that way, and it's happening. So I'm talking about a body of people that's going to rule the harlot. You know, the false prophet rules the harlot. They've always ruled the harlot. In Jesus' day, the false prophet was the Sanhedrin. They ruled the harlot of apostate Judaism. They had a covenant, by the way, with the beast kingdom of Rome to crucify the saints. Do you remember what they did? That is being repeated in our time. They didn't know they had a covenant with the beast to crucify the saints, but they did. They said, lest the Romans come and take away our place. That's why they killed Jesus and killed his disciples. They didn't want to lose their position. They were protecting their position. See? So the false prophet in that day was the Sanhedrin, the 70. And they led the people all the way down to the people in the pulpits, you know. Daniel 3, 1 through 5. Nebuchadnezzar the king. And remember, we have our king, our executive branch, right? Made an image of gold. Here is the image of the beast. And who commanded it? The people to bow down to this image of the beast? The false prophet. Then the herald. The word herald there is the only Greek word in that whole text. Before Greek was a world language. And it's the same word used in the New Testament for preacher. Then the herald, the preacher, cried out loud, to you it's commanded, O peoples, nations, languages, fall down and worship the golden image. See, Babylon, the United States, is bringing together this image. And preachers are going to preach it. And if you don't think they will, just think about the God and country thing that's going on in America right now. Had been for many years. In some churches that are so ignorant, they don't understand. Have you ever seen the American flag standing up there next to the Christian flag? Wherever that came from. I don't know. What is the deal here? You see, our allegiance is totally to God Almighty when we enter into the kingdom. Of course, He tells us to submit to the laws of the land because He wants us to be a good witness to the people around us. He wants us to love the people around us. He wants us to bring the people of America to God. That's our job. We're to be the salt, right? But at the same time, we've got to know the difference between a kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. And America is a kingdom of the world. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Our kingdom is not of this world. And if Jesus could say that about Israel, can we not say it about America? Our kingdom is not of this world. Well, that God and country thing is like pledging allegiance to the beast. Do you know that America is going to be the head of the body of the image of the beast, and Christians are up there pledging allegiance? Now, either they're lying, or they're going to have to break that pledge, or they'll take the mark of the beast. To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations and languages, fall down and worship the golden image. Revelation 13, speaking of the second beast in Revelation 13, who everybody considers to be the false prophet, and I do too, And it says, He maketh the earth and them that worship therein to worship the first beast. The God and country thing, you see that? And His image. See, everybody's going to be very proud of this new world order. Because temporarily, at least, it's going to bring some semblance of peace and the promise of more peace, but it will end in a worldwide civil war. True Christians will reject the UR leadership. We have an example in verses 18 through 21. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. By the way, the word God, the gods there, is the same word for God everywhere else in the Bible used of our God, Elohim. Okay? The word for our God. Meaning they were putting the right name on a false god, you see. In other words, just because they call their God Jesus doesn't mean that that's a real Jesus. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but some people have a very, very different Jesus than we have. Not the Jesus of the Bible at all. Not the Jesus who is still the Savior from all sin, the Savior from all of the curse, the deliverance from sickness, the provider of everything that we need. They don't have the same Jesus at all. This is an apostate, false, weak Jesus that they have. Okay? We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times. There it is again, tribulation. Who's going to bring them into tribulation? The people of God into tribulation? The King of America, the executive branch. 7 times. More than it was wont to be heated. Then these men were bound and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And the question is, why wasn't all Israel thrown in there? Right? Well, some people are going to side with the beast. Many Christians will side with the beast, will take the mark of the beast in order not to be persecuted, in order not to be thrown into the wilderness, because the mark of the beast will throw people into the wilderness. Can't buy and sell with Egypt anymore. Right? So they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. And then the king said, I see 4 men loosed. So they went in bound, but they were loosed. See, what's the reason for tribulation? 7 years of tribulation is to loose God's people from their bondages. That's the whole purpose. They go in bound, they come out loosed. And they're walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. The aspect of the fourth is like a son of the gods. And some versions say, the Son of God. Actually, the word there is the same word. They use it plurally here because it's talking about false gods. Don't you know Nebuchadnezzar didn't know who the Son of God was? Right? So why would he say that? A son of the gods. By the way, if you translated our word Elohim correctly in the rest of the Bible, except where it's used for El, there's 2 words, El and Elohim. 9 times out of 10, it's Elohim because it's talking plural. Our God is plural. And actually, the original word is gods. They only translate it for false gods with an S, but it's the same word. You servants of the Most High God, come forth. And they discovered that the fire had no power upon their bodies, for God had sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him. That's the whole point. We need to learn to trust in Him, because God's going to deliver His servants that trust in Him. Militant Christians will fight when they see these things coming and when they see that they are losing their benefits in America especially. In Acts 8 and 32, Jesus was our example. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He taught us to take up our cross and follow him. And in Luke 10 and 3, he said, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. We've never seen a lamb attack a wolf, have we? It just doesn't happen. Matthew 10 and 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. See, the Lord does give us permission to flee. He don't give us permission to fight. You know, when the disciples had gone through these 3.5 years of intense training by the Lord, and they were quite happy to hang around Jerusalem and have a good church party, you know. basically, and played church for a while. God raised up a persecution in order to spread them out throughout the Middle East in order to bring the gospel to the world. That's what he did to do that. Well, right now, a lot of Christians are basically content to play church and not fulfill the Great Commission, but the persecution is going to spread throughout the earth the gospel that he's going to get straight in their hearts. It's going to spread it throughout the earth. And he does give us permission to flee. And he says, notice this, you shall not have gone through the cities of Israel. Who's Israel in the New Testament? You shall not have gone through the congregations of the church in the New Testament until the Son of Man be come. Now, how can that be fulfilled for them? It is going to be fulfilled for us. It will be fulfilled for us. 26 and 52. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. That's a promise. Sounds to me like we better rethink some of this, and some of the patriots better rethink this getting ready to fight against America. Revelation 13 and 10. If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goeth. In other words, if you need to go into captivity to be perfected, there's no way you can stay out of it. It doesn't matter how big a gun you got or how many people you got behind you. That's what God says. If any man shall kill with the sword must he be killed. This is talking about the end times. Must he be killed. People better rethink their ideas of this taking America back, because I don't know where they think they're taking it back from or taking it to. But frankly, only the Christians are going there. It's not America that's going to be taken back. You're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said, right? That includes America. America must hate us so that God's name would be manifested in us. Throughout history, it's been that way. See, God's name, the word name, onoma, means nature, character, and authority. God wants the nature, character, and authority of Jesus Christ manifested in his people. And that's why the nations are going to hate us. God turned the Egyptians' hearts to hate his people. Why was that? Because they had an affinity for the flesh pots in Egypt, and God wanted to motivate them to leave. And basically, it's the same with the church. The church has an affinity for the world, is very worldly, does everything by the world, gets its salvation through the world, gets its provision through the world, gets its healing through the world. And God says, no, I want you out there in that wilderness where you can sacrifice unto me. So he's sending the church into the wilderness. And this is his method. They're going to be hated of the world. Romans 13 and 1, let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Now this was in a time, this was spoken in a time when Caesars ruled the world. And later, of course, even worse than that has ruled the world. And even in our time, the Stalins and the Hitlers and the so on and so forth that have ruled the world. There is no power but of God. Now, he is putting America over the world for a purpose. And it's not because they're better at it than anybody else. It's because they have the ability to raise up a one world order to persecute and bring the saints into subjection. The powers that be are ordained of God. He doesn't want us. There is a place where you depart from obeying Babylon. The Bible says, be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. But on the other hand, the three Hebrews wouldn't bow down to worship the image of the beast, right? We know a time is coming when we're going to be able to say no, because there is a higher power and a higher law and a higher authority. But until that time comes, he wants you to submit to this authority, even though it's evil. You know, Daniel said he sets up over the kingdoms of men the basest of men. We think God wants to put a Christian leader in so we can all have peace and safety, right? But not when the church is in rebellion. He doesn't send peace and safety. He sends a beast against the church, you see. Jeremiah 27, the nation and the kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, will I punish. with the sword, famine, and pestilence until I have consumed them by His hand. God is demanding this new world order. See, the mark of the beast is not the devil's idea, it's God's idea. He wants to separate those who don't serve God from those that do. And this will do a very neat job of it. The fact that He's using the devil to bring it has nothing to do with it. He uses the devil all the time, and He uses all of us all the time. You know, He has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor that He uses to do everything He does. He works all things after the counsel of His own will, the Bible says. All things. What does that leave out? Nothing. See? The thing we need to consider is how we want to be used, as a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. And God's going to use America at the head of the beast as a vessel of dishonor to bring the saints into being a vessel of honor. The nation and kingdom that won't serve Him, I will punish them, He says. But as for you, speaking of God's people, He says, hearken ye not to your prophets, nor to your dreams that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. There are a lot of people thinking this way now, that we are not going to serve, we are going to fight, we are going to take this country back, so on and so forth. And it's playing right into the enemy's hands. You shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land. This actually happened with Babylon. The Jews, who God had told to submit to Babylon, decided they would go to Egypt for help to fight against Babylon. And guess what? Babylon went right on down to Egypt, conquered Egypt, and killed them. Well, that's what's going to happen. He said, to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out and you should perish. See, the people that don't submit to this new world order until God's law intervenes, they are going to squash. Babylon did that. Babylon had a civil war before they were conquered by the bear. And the people that rose up were all destroyed. God says, why will you die? Think about it, folks. I can tell you right now, John Kerry talked about, you know, back after the Vietnam War, how the great atrocities that the Americans did over in Vietnam. And Yuri Andropov, by the way, who happened to be the head of the KGB at that time, he said that was all disinformation. He quoted what we sent over to America to dishearten the American people in that war and to give them a mistrust for their government in that war. He said, that guy quoted everything that we said. You understand? Disinformation is coming into America to raise up people in this country to fight against America. It's coming in right now. It's very easy now. All you got to have is the internet. And Christians just swallow it up and then pass it on like it's the Word of God. But it's internet gossip. You know how you know it's gossip? Because the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You know what that means? It means if you permit this into your computer, you need to have two or three witnesses before you do that. So a lot of stuff that's being passed around is garbage. And it's being sent here by the Chinese, who in their warfare manual said they were going to do just this with disinformation, to stir up Americans to fight against America. It's happening now. They're making war on America now. The Lord said to me several years ago, He said, that spirits of paranoia will raise up a rebellion among apostate Christians against the United States. And what did He say was going to happen in the verses before that? He said, that I should drive you from your land. What is our land? Israel, spiritually speaking. It's Israel. You see, but when these people rise up contrary to the commands of Scripture and fight against this government, they are departing from their land of abiding in Israel and abiding in Jesus Christ. They are departing from it. Let me share with you a revelation the Lord gave to me through the Word of Knowledge concerning this rebellion and this civil war. In Ezekiel 17, in verse 2, it says, Son of man, speak a parable unto the house of Israel. Now, we know that that's talking about us now, right? Okay. Verse 3, A great eagle with great wings. Who could that be? Nobody but America, right? Came unto Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. Now, you know, the cedars of Lebanon were likened to God's people. God likened them to His people. Why? Because the cedars of Lebanon were evergreens, which is a symbol of eternal life. And because you know what a cedar is, right? Nothing can attack it or kill it. It's almost impervious to any bugs or anything that comes against it. Another symbol of eternal life. So God likened them to His people, right? Well, the Babylon or America came and cropped off the topmost of the young twigs. And what the Lord showed me was that's talking about the immature leadership of Christianity. You know, in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 4, he says that his people were ruled over by children. He said, children rule over you. And he was rebuking them because their leadership was very immature in the ways of the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord, the following of the Lord, the experience of the Lord. Even today, folks, it doesn't take anything. You don't have to sit at the feet of Jesus anymore. You can go to Bible college and get your certificate and you'll be promoted right over the people of God. Well, that's what happened in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus said they came up another way. They didn't come through the door. They got their education, they got their certificate, and they ruled over the people of God, and they didn't know God. They didn't know God. They were very immature, children in the ways of the kingdom. And that's the way it is today, too. See, history just keeps on repeating itself, you see. Children in the ways of the Lord. Well, now we're seeing that America is going to take this immature leadership. Watch. And carried into a land of traffic. You know what the land of traffic was in the Bible? It was Babylon, but now it's the United States. All right? He set it in a city of merchants. Well, that is this gathering together of the leadership of not only Christianity, but the other religions is being gathered together under the UN in New York, a city of merchants. It's the UR in the UN in New York. That's just exactly what Constantine did. Exactly. History repeating itself. He took also of the seed of the land and placed it beside many waters. Well, think about it. If you're beside many waters, then you're under the harlot because the harlot sits on many waters. And the many waters was the beast kingdom too. So if you're beside many waters, you're a member of the beast kingdom. Because anybody, actually the Lord showed me years ago, anybody that walks after the flesh, the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, the mark in the forehead and in the hand is the spiritual mark of the beast, not the physical mark of the beast, but the spiritual mark of the beast. These people are going to be the ones to take the physical mark of the beast because they don't walk by faith in God. They can't live in the wilderness by faith in God, and they know it, so they're going to take the mark of the beast. Multitudes of Christians, of what we're calling Christians, are going to take the mark of the beast. So they're going to take the leadership up there to be rulers over us. No vote involved. They're not going to ask your permission. They're not even going to ask who you like. They're just going to promote these people to a place of permission. Puppets for the beast. Puppets for the beast. To make the rules for us. And when we break them, guess what? We're going to be outlaws when we break them, you see. They're not going to ask you. So the people of God under the harlot who sits on many waters are going to be members of the body of this beast. Now, members of the true beast covenant with the United Religions. And he goes on to say, and it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned towards him. In other words, like Constantine's leadership over all of religion, they all submitted to him. They liked their paycheck. They liked their esteem that they received. They liked the power that they received, you know. A lot of people go into the ministry because they have a lust for power and position and authority. Not for the right reasons at all. Not because they're sent of God necessarily. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned towards him and roots thereof were under him. The interpretation's in the text. Verse 12 says, say now to the rebellious house, behold, the king of Babylon, the United States, came to Jerusalem and took the king thereof and the princes thereof. That's the people of God, and took the leadership of the people of God. This is a type of the apostate leadership of Christianity in our day, same type, and brought them to him to Babylon. Then the nations, this is my statement here, then the nations with the U.S. at the head will confirm a covenant with the false prophet leadership of God's people. And he took of the seed royal, that's the leadership of Christianity, and made a covenant. There it is right there. Who's going to make the covenant? Some individual man? No. Babylon, at the head of the nations, the image of the beast. You know what the image of the beast is? It's a picture of him. This is the beast. Babylon at the head of the nations. And he took of the seed royal and made a covenant. Notice that. Remember that word covenant right there. And you know what the covenant is going to be like. You can always already see the beginning of it, right? It's a covenant of a generic God, because we don't want to offend anybody, and an impotent gospel that won't bring any salvation through faith in the promises of Jesus. And it's a covenant of tolerance towards all false religions and sinners. That's what it's going to be like. And so that the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up. It's fallen, like he said in Romans 14. It's fallen down. But that by keeping his covenant, it might stand. Notice I underlined covenant twice here. Watch. At this point, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, from the first mention of the word covenant in verse 13, count. Well, 13, you know what 13 is, right? It's the number of antichrist. It's the number of apostasy. It's a number of rebellion in the Bible. And it starts where the covenant starts, in verse 13. And he told me to start counting right there. And he said, how many verses does covenant cover? I counted. I didn't know. I counted. There were seven verses. And he said, that's the 7 years of the covenant, Daniel 9 and 27. Okay. And how many times is covenant spoken in those seven verses, he asked me. And I said, six times. And six is the number of the beast, and it's the number of man. All right? The sixth chapter of the sixth book of the sixth verse of the New Testament, what's it talk about? The old man. The old man is the beast. The old man throughout the earth is the beast. How many verses before covenant is broken, before the covenant is broken? I counted, and it was 3.5 verses into the 7 verses. And you know when the sacrifice and oblation ceases? In the midst of the week. In the middle of the week. So there it is, exactly. And what we can see here is the U.S. great eagle over the U.N. will make the unrecognized beast covenant. Why do I say it's unrecognized? Because nobody recognizes the beast, nobody recognizes the harlot, nobody recognizes the covenant. Everything that they've been preaching for years is teaching the letter, but the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. When you bring something from the Old Testament into the New, it has to be translated and according to the types and shadows that have already been shown. Jesus came in the end of the Old Covenant, but very shortly he became a corporate body of people. And that's the type. When you go from Old Covenant to New Covenant, you're talking about changing from an individual as a type and a shadow to a corporate body. And if you go back to the teaching I have on the beast, the son of perdition is there. One of the clearest things in all the Word is that there is a corporate body of people sitting in the midst of the body of Christ called the son of perdition, just like Judas Iscariot sat in the midst of the body of Christ as the son of perdition. In our day, we need somebody to bring us to our cross. The beast was involved, the harlot was involved, and the son of perdition was involved in order to bring the people of God to their cross. This is the plan of God. It will work. It's worked in the past. The Jews, like the apostate Christians, they didn't know that they had a covenant with the beast to crucify the saints. They were already in covenant with the beast. That's why they killed Jesus and the disciples. That was the false prophet leadership of Christianity. A sect of the apostate Christian leadership will break the oath and the peace covenant. Notice, I didn't say the beast was going to break it, because the Bible doesn't say that. Christians are going to break the covenant in America. Watch. But he rebelled against him. That is the leadership of apostate Judaism rebelled against the king of Babylon. The leadership of apostate Christianity will rebel against this covenant that's made by America at the head of the beast. In sending his ambassadors into Egypt. Now, you know what Egypt represents. Paul said that they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. He called the Red Sea experience a baptism. And, you know, in their baptism, the old man dies and the new man comes to life, right? That's what baptism's all about. Well, the old man was the Egyptian and the new man was the Israelite. So he's telling us plainly what it is to go back to Egypt. It's to go back to submitting to and under the obedience to the old man when you go back to Egypt. So it represents the old man. As I said before, Israel ran to Egypt for help to defend themselves against Babylon's dominion. And it says, he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt that they might give him horses. Horses in the Bible, I believe it's Psalm 147, says that God taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man nor the strength of the horse. Why is he comparing the legs of a man to the strength of a horse? He's talking about a man who walks after the flesh. A man who harnesses the flesh of the beast to do his work for him. You know, a lot of people, they do their works totally in the flesh, totally by the flesh. They use the strength of the flesh, the old man, to do their work for them. And you know what we use horses for? We harness them to do our work for us, right? And shall he break the covenant and yet escape? This is the question. Shall he break the covenant? There's another time that it was listed among the seven. And verse 16 is where he actually breaks the covenant. Surely in the place where the king whose oath he despised and whose covenant he break. There it is. Covenant he break. That's 3.5 verses into the 7 verses. In the midst of the week, again, even with him in Babylon, he shall die. See, the people that break the covenant by going to the strength of the arm of the flesh. The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusts in man, Jeremiah 17:5, and maketh the flesh his arm. See, if we don't obey the commands given to us in the New Testament, but instead we take up arms against this country, God says he's going to use them to destroy you if you do that. There are many patriots in this country that claim Christianity, and God is going to cleanse Christianity of these people, because they are militant and they are not going to the cross. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty, even with him in Babylon, he shall die. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army help him in the war, for he hath despised the oath by breaking the covenant. Again, we see, we're talking about Christians breaking this covenant, okay? Verse 19, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised. Look at this now. The Lord is saying that he's broken his oath. As I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised and my covenant that he hath broken, I will bring upon his own head. How is it then when these people take up arms against America, how is it that they're breaking God's covenant that he's going to bring upon their own head? In the text, it gives us an explanation of trusting in Egypt. There was also another great eagle with great wings. Now, how many great eagles with greater wings do we have here? You know, we only have one, right? You know what he's talking about? A civil war. This is what the Lord showed me. This other eagle with great wings, the same phrase, is used of Egypt as it was used of Babylon. But we can see that Babylon is a spiritual entity here in America. And Egypt is a spiritual entity concerning Christians in America who trust in the arm of the flesh to save them. So there's going to be a civil war. And this vine did bend its roots towards him. Militant Christians trusting in the arm of the flesh is what this represents. And all his, that is God's rebels, God's fugitives, shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered. Isaiah 30:1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that make a league, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that set out to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. The people who tried to be out from under the dominion of Babylon, to the extent that they ran down to Egypt for strength to fight against them, those people were destroyed. Like I said, Babylon went down there, conquered Egypt, and killed them. That's what happened. And that's a type and a shadow for what's going to happen here. The same thing. A civil war is going to happen in the United States. Christians and conservatives, if you will join together against this government, to fight against this government. And God's basically going to weed out the church this way. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the refuge in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. These people that rise up against this country because they've been taught this way, basically, that you don't have to obey the Sermon on the Mount. Resist not the evil, love your enemy. These people have been... There's a guy that's not far from me that's talked about me on the radio quite a bit. He seems to like to stick pins in me as a doll, I guess. But this guy is raising up a large group of people in Pensacola to fight against this government. He calls himself a patriot, and he's a Baptist pastor. And God, they don't realize where they're going with this. They're going to a civil war. They're going to be weeded out of the body of Christ for rebellion against the Word of God. Jesus said, love your enemies. He didn't say to kill them. And in Matthew 5, 38 and 39, you have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, resist not him that is evil. But whosoever smiteth thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And this is the doctrine of non-resistance that Jesus teaches all through the New Testament. And the people that rebel against this are the people that God is going to turn over to the beast for destruction. Romans 12 and verse 19, it says, avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. The Lord demands that we give all recompense to Him, all vengeance unto Him. And that is taking up our cross and following Jesus, because in our non-resistance of evil, the Lord will resist it for us. The U.S. will kill those who rebel against God's covenant to fight with them. The Lord said to me some years ago, He said, in this way, I'm going to cleanse my church of those that refuse to obey and go to their cross. And David Koresh was a real good example of this. If David Koresh had not stored up weapons with the plan to use them against the U.S. government, he and all of his followers would still be alive today. I think God is showing us a very good parable in that. I'm not saying the government did anything right. They obviously didn't. But God did not defend David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. He didn't save them, and He didn't defend them. And basically the same thing is going to happen, just like at Masada. You know, the same thing is going to happen. We're hearing today a lot of talk of secessionism, seceding from the Union, and going to one particular state and raising up a Christian state there. And we've never heard this since the Civil War, and obviously history keeps repeating itself, so what we're about to see now is a civil war because of this secessionist idea. Israel, as a type of the church, was in bondage to the Roman beast for rebellion against the Word. And Jesus, as a type of the end-time man-child of the 3.5 years of the beginning of the tribulation, suffered for Barabbas. You know what Barabbas means? Barabbas, his name means son of the Father. And if you was to look at that today, you would see the man-child and Christians today in the same respect. Mark 15 and 7 says, and there was one called Barabbas. And Barabbas, as you know, was a Jewish patriot, much like many Christians call themselves patriots today. He was a Jewish patriot. He was lying bound with them that had made insurrection or revolution. Men who in the insurrection had committed murder. Notice that what God calls killing Romans in that day was murder. The Romans had invaded their land, had taken over their land, and had brought them into bondage. And yet God calls it in the Bible murder when the patriots killed Romans. Is it any different in our day when the Christians, patriots, rise up and begin to kill people in this land? Because it will happen. It will happen soon. Just as we saw recently the parable that I shared in Ezekiel 17. In John 18 and 40, it says, They cried out therefore again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Jesus suffered, Jesus as the man-child, suffered for Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Obviously, stealing from the Romans is also robbing, you know. And right now we're seeing in this country, in fact, over the last several years, they've caught quite a few people stealing from the military. And obviously they were storing up weapons for a future battle. Paul, as a type, this is where all of this is going to come back on the true Christians. It's going to bring persecution on the true Christians. Because Paul, as a type of innocent Christians in our day, was falsely accused as a rebel and imprisoned. And he wasn't guilty of Barabbas' works or his followers. In Acts 21 and 38, art not thou the Egyptian? Again, we saw the other day that trusting in the arm of the flesh to fight with Babylon was going back to Egypt. And Paul here, as an innocent Christian, is being accused of being an Egyptian, which he was not. Art not thou then the Egyptian who before these days stirred up a sedition and led out into the wilderness the 4,000 men of the assassins? And remember Masada, because God did not defend those people. They were Jewish patriots, and God did not defend them. The Roman beast wiped them out. The reason was is that God gave them into the hand of Rome for a crucifixion and told them to submit, and they refused. In Ecclesiastes 1:9, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. The eagle of Babylon had a civil war before they fell to the Medo-Persian bear, just as the eagle of the United States will before they fall to the Russian bear. History just repeats. You just have to identify the characters, that's all. Jeremiah 51 and 46, speaking of this civil war. And it says, speaking to God's people, it says, let not your heart faint, neither fear ye for the report that shall be heard in the land. For the report shall come 1 year, and after that the report in another year. And violence shall be in the land, ruler against ruler. Obviously, this is a report of the civil war that Babylon had. We see today, you know, Republicans and Democrats becoming more and more increasingly polarized. And Christians generally, at least conservative Christians, generally call themselves Republicans. And I'm not saying that the war will be between Republicans and Democrats, but we can see it, this polarization taking place. And as a matter of fact, during the Bush-Gore vote fraud fiasco, ammunition sales went up in the United States by 900%. Obviously, somebody was getting ready to fight. And I read the transcript of a couple of radio talk shows, and Republicans on there were openly speaking about fighting. And, you know, a little bit of injustice like that makes people rise up unless they understand that we've been called to die here. We've been called to be crucified, and we're commanded to resist not the evil. We are commanded to resist the principalities and powers, wrestle with principalities and powers, but not flesh and blood. An angel said to Dimitri Dudeman, it will start with the world calling for peace, peace. And then there will be an internal revolution in America, started by the communists. And the communists, as we've seen, their plans are to give misinformation across America to stir up people and cause them to be offended against the government and fight with the government. That was also stated in Unrestricted Warfare, the Chinese warfare manual. Some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the oceans, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, Mexico, and two other countries, which I cannot remember, the Russians will bombard the nuclear missile silos in America, and America will burn. They'll be calling for peace, peace. Then there'll be a revolution. Why do they call them for peace? Peace, because of the wars that we're starting into right now, these Middle Eastern wars. And the world's going to call for peace, peace. Then they're going to create the dragon beast of Revelation 12, which is the seventh beast. And this war is going to bring them ultimately to Armageddon. Islamic and Christian terrorism will make the mark compulsory for security purposes. Remember we saw in Ezekiel 17 that it was actually some Christians who broke the covenant, not the beast. And the compulsory mark will be an effort to be able to identify any evildoers, anybody that breaks the law, anybody that does contrary to the government. The Jews rebelled against the Romans in 66 AD. That's a significant number. And in 70 AD, the harlot was destroyed. Well, that leaves 4 years in there, doesn't it? And we know that before, in the book of Revelation, before the apostate harlot of the New Testament is destroyed, it's 3.5 years before that the mark is made. And now we're seeing that even before the mark, these people are going to rebel against the government. The U.S. over the UN beast will make war with the saints for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And once you've realized who the beast really is, then it really opens our eyes to understand what's going to happen here. The Christians have an idea that America will defend them against the beast, but actually they're a part of the beast. And Kosovo was a good example. Serbia was a good example. They didn't defend the Christians in Kosovo and Serbia. They literally kicked the Christians out and gave their places to the Muslims. And those Muslims, by the way, in that area, most of those were forced conversions from years past when Muslims came in there and forced the Christians to convert to Islam. And they kicked the Christians out. I'm using the term loosely here, Christians loosely. They kicked the Christians out and gave their property to the Muslims. Sudan, they're not doing anything to defend millions of people who have been killed in Sudan. Millions of Christians. I understand we're using the term loosely, but America's done nothing but play politics with that. Millions of them have died. The U.S. falls after the tribulation as Jesus gathers his saints. Now, that's some interesting timelines here. Jeremiah 25:11. And this whole land, again, he's talking about the Middle East, shall be a desolation. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And then, of course, as I told you, that's 7 years. And when 70 years are accomplished, that is 7 years are accomplished, that is after the tribulation, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and I will make it desolate forever. For many nations and great kings shall make bondmen of them, even of them, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the work of their hands. Meaning, of course, it's time for sowing what's been reaped. He that lives by the sword will die by the sword. Notice it says, many nations and great kings shall make bondmen of them, even of them. Meaning they are not used to this, right? They're not used to being on that end of the stick, so to speak. The same 70 years are mentioned in the word 7 times. The 70 years of bondage, for instance, that Babylon kept the people of God under. The same 70 years is mentioned 7 times in the Scriptures. There's a relationship between 70 and 7. In Matthew 18:21, then came Peter and said unto him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until 7 times? Now think about Peter. Who was he talking about as his brother here? Who were the people that were really offending the Christians in that day? It was their Jewish brethren. They were offending them, sinning against them, persecuting them, so on and so forth. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times and 7. Now, here's something interesting. Some translations say 70 times 7, but there's no numeric pattern in 70 times 7. The numeric pattern proves there has to be that and in there, or the whole pattern breaks down in this text. It is 70 times and 7. God is definitely talking about two times of forgiveness. I say not unto seven times, but unto 70 times and 7. And then he talks about judgment after that. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. Now, when God reckons with his servants, we know that several things happen. The rapture and the resurrection happen for the righteous, and destruction happens for the apostates. Okay? So, now we see that after 70 years, the Lord no longer forgave the Babylonish harlot of Israel, because in 70 AD, the Roman beast destroyed her, as the saints escaped, by the way, to the mountains. But in the book of Revelation, we see that after 7 years of tribulation, the U.S. harlot is destroyed as the saints are gathered. So now we see a relationship of 70 concerning Israel and Babylon, and concerning the United States and Christians, that's 7. It was 70 in the Old Testament, and now it's 7 in the New. Okay? 7 for the New Testament people of God, 7 for America. That's the relationship that the Lord has shown me. And by the way, the Bible does say that except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. Jeremiah 29 and 10. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years, or 7 years are accomplished for Babylon, that is the United States, I will visit you. God is saying he's going to come after the 7 years of tribulation. And he did come after the 70 years of bondage in Babylon too, as a type and a shadow. I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. What place was he talking about? He was talking about bringing his people back to Jerusalem.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.